welcome the opportunity to share with you some of our experiences working into Los Angeles community in partnership with leaders and residents in these two communities to address healthy eating and physical activity and obesity and diabetes prevention, which was made possible through a 2.5-3 year funding grant that was funded by the Keck Foundation to the school, which was a partnership of the Keck School of Medicine, Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and the LA County Department of Health Services that has two comprehensive health centers in the two communities in which we were working. The Keck Diabetes Prevention Initiative, which is what it became to be named, their long-term goals were to develop strategies in collaboration with community health and social service providers, leaders, and residents to reduce the prevalence of obesity and diabetes in two communities in which rates of obesity and diabetes are very high relative to county and national norms. And targeted two communities, Watts Willowbrook, which is located in South Los Angeles and in East LA, and to work with these communities to build on efforts that are already taking place to address healthy eating and access to healthy food sources and physical activity, and develop new approaches in collaboration with leaders and residents around prevention and treatment. Just as a matter of orientation, Watts Willowbrook is in the south-ish central part of LA County. Very low-income community. It's now about 60% Latino, 40% African American. East Los Angeles is almost 98% Latino, but very diverse within those communities in terms of there being many families who've been living in Southern California and East Los Angeles area for generations, as well as families who are more recently arrived immigrants from Mexico and Central America. Our team, the KDPI team, is actually very diverse in terms of ethnic and cultural background, but also in terms of their own experience and sort of disciplinary background. Our project director has been long involved in policies related to healthy eating and access to physical activity. Our PIs are two endocrinologists that have active pediatric and adult practices in these communities and have developed clinic-based interventions. We developed two teams in the two communities, which included a full-time coordinator and a registered dietitian that has experience conducting community education around obesity, nutrition, and diabetes. And our research teams were fully integrated in these communities as well and worked very closely in synergy with the outreach teams. When we were trying to sort of characterize this planning process, it was difficult to sort of describe it in a neat way because there was nothing neat about it. But it was, neither was it sort of linear or sequential. There were lots of sort of parallel activities that were taking place that fed on one another and sort of built on one another. The principal ones were the relationship building, trust building that was absolutely necessary just to even gain entry into communities and generate interest in working together. These are communities that have had an unfortunate experience and not the strongest perception of the academic community, and sort of see researchers as sort of engaged in what they call helicopter research, which is come in, go out, and leave nothing behind. We began our formative sort of research and assessment in the communities very early on, which allowed us to understand, you know, what leadership, both in terms of grassroots and sort of formal leadership, kind of existed in these communities, as well as, you know, beginning some of the policy advocacy that was already beginning to take place in LA County and in California around schools and communities, and developed advisory boards once we identified people who are interested in, and also who kind of came forward and expressed interest in sort of actively working together in partnership to brainstorm around developing meaningful program, you know, interventions that address programs and policies both that were no and low cost as well as those that would require some significant funding. The kinds of activities we were engaged in to sort of help establish ourselves and develop credibility and trust, you have to talk to people in sort of a glib way of saying we were there. We were there for a long time, involved in a lot of the community meetings and community events and neighborhood council meetings. We talked to many, many people who referred us to many, many people, which is still occurring today as those communities are evolving. And from this process, we created our two advisory boards that became active and continue to be active today. Because of the nature of our team, we were able to provide on a sort of as-requested basis ongoing diabetes education, nutrition education, and education related to policies in those communities. One of the evidence-based prevention activities that had been taking place in clinical settings, we could bring into after-school settings in both East and South LA in this early planning process. And we were able to expand the specialty care that was already taking place in the community clinics and bring in clinical trials that had not typically been available to low-income communities. I'm not going to go into great detail around the assessment research because we did quite a bit of research and continue to have a presence in the communities, but I'll just give you a list of the sort of the principal research activities that again evolved. We conducted key informant interviews for the first 2 years of the planning process. We identified every food venue that that was of meaning to community residents and inventoried the kinds of food availability that were healthy food availability and examined sort of the type. The availability and the quality of those food sources. We also conducted many observations of the green spaces that were available in terms of size, the amenities that were available in each of those green spaces, how these green spaces were utilized, and perceptions of families who were utilizing these spaces in terms of safety. We conducted geospatial analysis that allowed us to map food venues looked at childhood overweight and fitness against some neighborhood predictors. We conducted first of what will be many phone random digit dial phone surveys, which will allow us to sort of track the impact of the work that we've been doing in these communities. The process of developing intervention ideas was a very lengthy process that included sort of a sharing, a giving and a taking of experience and education. In the first meetings, we were basically orientation meetings, and we were able to provide diabetes and obesity education to the CAB members so that they could feel that they had enough information to sort of be meaningful participating in the participants in this process. We presented some of our first assessment findings, but they gave us, took us to different places in their community and sort of sent us in different areas that we had not originally considered to sort of bore to a deeper level of understanding need. We discussed existing evidence-based models for consideration and applicability in these communities and engaged in a very intensive process of brainstorming using sort of an ecological model to disentangle some of the kind of the factors that might affect healthy eating and physical activity, looking at factors, risk factors that might relate to culture, physical environment, media, income, policy, community environment, family. So just images of that process. And the group became very enthusiastic about instituting, implementing something immediately. And so they identified sort of a tiered set of ideas, those that we could implement quickly, which they did within the first couple of years, which include grocery store tours and meeting with the food service providers in the local schools to make sure that they were complying with new and emerging policies. They conducted a walkability assessment to identify structural barriers to physical activity, and they started to actively advocate for farmers' markets, which were not present at the time, and brought the five-a-day program to most of the housing projects that are ubiquitous in these communities to provide cooking demonstrations and education. These are the sort of the main thematic areas that they prioritized for sort of more comprehensive approaches, which focused on schools, fitness for all ages, all members of the community, community education that would take place in different settings, using a promotora model for diabetes screening and management, and mini grants to support local sort of smaller scale strategies for physical fitness and healthy eating. You know, building on already existing prevention research in these communities and developing support for the core infrastructure that would allow us to sort of track the impact of new interventions that began to be launched over the course of the second and third year of this process. Today we have two clinical trials that focus on type 2 patients with type 2 diabetes as well as patients with type 1 diabetes. These are the funded interventions that are currently taking place that have launched in the last 6 months to a year with a variety of funding sources, which includes nutrition education and supermarket tours. We now have two farmers markets in both communities. We've brought Kids in Fitness, which is a fitness program for kids at risk for obesity, into the school settings. We have two promotora projects that are out currently working in both the community and the clinical settings. Policy advocacy is, you know, is ongoing, and it's great to hear about the, you know, some of the resources that are now available. I know that they would be very involved in that. We just received training, money to train high school students in East LA to provide nutrition education to elementary school students, and we have some limited funds to support the core infrastructure. How is it possible besides money? Time. It took an enormous amount of time just to begin the process of planning with, in a meaningful, substantive way with our advisory boards. We also had a planning grant that did not have rigid restrictions about how to use the funds, which gave us the flexibility to move in different directions and sort of change our strategies if we weren't sort of getting what we needed. We also had a multidisciplinary team that really enabled us to continue to give to the community as they were giving their time and commitment to this process. We could provide education and support in different ways. And it took lots of fundraising. We must have, and we continue, we must have generated more than 25 proposals to small and large kind of grant funders and private donors, and many of which the community sort of gained ownership themselves. And then finally, in terms of challenges, which is, you know, I mean, there are too many to really list, but the biggest ones were time. Time is, you know, because it took so much time, time to develop trust and commitment of the community, which is a natural and, you know, necessary process. You know, funders were nipping at our heels because, you know, their board members are nipping at their heels because they want outcomes, they want deliverables, and it's just not a neat, easy process. You don't come out with a given product. It's very organic, and it takes an enormous amount of time. And the community, and this is a good thing, the community was impatient to initiate interventions and policies, but that also takes time. These are communities that, you know, are dealing with lots of other issues that have an impact on health and well-being, and so there were a lot of competing issues, and obesity and diabetes was not top on their list. It's also at a time when Drew King was threatened to be closed down, so a lot of our CAB members were involved in that process. Sustaining an infrastructure to coordinate these interventions is not a sexy thing to fund, so to have sort of support to do that and to evaluate the impact is also a challenge. And maintaining interest in CAB members and community partners was difficult, but there are just as many people who sort of come forth and sort of take it over for people who've moved on. And then finally, grant writing is time-consuming, and funding is competitive and unpredictable and unreliable. So, you know, that sort of leaves us all feeling a little bit vulnerable. But there we are. This is the team, and special thanks to our advisory boards and also those who contributed their time and perspectives. Just images. East and South LA? This is a timeline I'll let you digest as you think about questions.